Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 7th day of January, 13 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we welcome you to the program. We've got a busy show today, obviously. We have a lot to discuss. It was a hell of a day yesterday, and we're going to try to make some sense of it. Not that that's going to be easy, but we have a terrific panel, a supersized panel today. We are going to have a lot more voices than we normally have. And when we do this, normally in the past, when we have this many people, they're in person. And so we're going to do it over the phone. We beg for your understanding and know that we're doing the best we can with the technology that we have in these extraordinary circumstances. But we've been doing it, obviously, this way since March, and we're going to continue with more voices today. So a lot of times we get letters about all the extraneous noise and all that stuff. We know. Just be patient with us. That's all I'm asking. Just patience, for God's sakes, today of all days. Let me introduce our panel to you. It is an impressive group, and then we'll get started as to what happened yesterday. And again, you know, just try to figure out where we go from here, if that's even possible. Of course, WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, sir. How are you? All right, maybe Alan is not here. Is Alan here?
Yeah.
All right. Alan is not here.
Alan
is here. Okay.
Alan is definitely here.
Okay.
I think he's definitely here. Anyway, you know, we just did the media project, exciting program about how the media covered all of this. I have to say that it has been an extraordinary time. I've been saying from day one, and I think everybody knows this, this president has no bottom. This human being has no bottom. And I've been saying it's perfectly possible that because of his need to stay president or whatever and not to be exposed once he gets done being president, a coup was not out of the question. I've been getting a lot of mail on this, and people have been saying one after another, you were right, and I keep repeating to all of them the same thing. I would rather not have been right. Because it's unbelievable that in this country, this great country, we have a miscreant of this kind. Now, are you telling me that with those flags out there all the same, where'd those flags come from? You know what one of those flags costs? They're all marching. They all got the flags. They all got their marching orders. And I don't think there's any question that Donald Trump has a great deal to answer for.
Well, absolutely. And we'll get into this, too. And the flags is a question. Transportation also a question of how the
absolutely.
People got there. And
buses.
Exactly. So there's a lot to talk about. We also, again, we have quite a crew today, so let me introduce them. Investigative journalist and UAlbany adjunct professor Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning. Very glad to be able to vent and talk to smart people on a morning like this. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure and honor. Robert Griffin is Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. I hope Bob doesn't mind me saying this, but Bob texted me at about 2:30 yesterday afternoon and said, if you want a really pissed off panelist on the show today, I'm in.
just great.
And I have not calmed down at all. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a hot show.
And I responded in about 30 seconds and said, you're on there, buddy. Tetherless World Professor of Computer, Web, and Cognitive Sciences at RPI and Director of the RPI-IBM Artificial Intelligence Research Collaboration, Jim Hendler. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we thankfully had Malcolm on the schedule already. My big fear was that he was going to bail on us, so I'm just thrilled that he's here for the duration. Malcolm Nance is a counterterrorism expert, best-selling author, and, of course, a regular panelist here on WAMC. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Good. I'm not sure about the good part, but it is morning.
All right. Well, we'll check in and get everybody's gauge on today. Also, funny thing happened on the way to the office. You know, last week, the last time Malcolm was on with Rosemary was last Thursday when and we said our goodbyes to the permanent stature of Linda Ellerbe being on our program because Linda was wanted to step back and was going to Mexico well, that lasted. That didn't last a week because yesterday she was on and on Facebook, and I said, "Have you reconsidered yet?" And she did, and she's here, and we're very thankful.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Thank you, Linda Ellerbe.
I couldn't think of any place else I would rather be right this minute.
Well, you were all very good on social media yesterday. I was following and listening in on all of your conversations, and it was. Or if not a part of many of them, and it really was fascinating. So I look forward to hearing all of your thoughts this morning. So let's get to it. I will announce to the group a couple panelists are going to have to leave us early, but we are going to go to noon today. The caveat to that being is that we have not heard from the governor yet. We do expect the governor usually does his press conferences Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He did do one on Tuesday, and given the increased number and given what happened in Washington yesterday, I would not be at all surprised if there was one today. So we are going to go to whatever time, either noon or when the governor starts speaking. So we're going to extend this morning. Most of our panelists can stay with us. Malcolm's going to have to drop off at 11, and Bob has to drop off at 11:30. So, but that'll keep us going. And we thank you very much for your time. So we have a lot to get to, but we do have time to get to all of it. So. With that in mind, we also welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. I assume we're going to get a ton, and we want them. So please keep them short and to the point, pre-read them, and that'll make it a lot easier for all of us to get to as many letters as possible. Okay, so here we go. Yesterday was a hell of a day. I don't think there's any other way to describe it and try to make... It's probably difficult to even describe, you know, to find the right words to say what happened yesterday other than, I mean, there are words, of course, but, you know, without using, you have to say mob and you have to say sedition and it is inciting a riot and we have questions of the 25th Amendment and whether we should impeach the president. Is any of that possible? We are told that actual conversations are happening on Capitol Hill. Is it at all hard to believe that that this cabinet will turn around and say that the president is not fit to serve the office? It I don't know. So here's what we know right now. A woman shot by police inside the Capitol during the mayhem has died. Washington police said that three other people also died in the area around the Capitol yesterday from medical emergencies. The president this morning said that there would be an orderly transition. We were later told by reporting done by Washington Post and other sources that was not to try to quell violence, that was more to try to stop the people who are leaving his administration and to stop the number of resignations that he has received. We also know that a pipe bomb was found at the Republican National Committee in Washington. Officials discovered a suspicious package nearby at the Democratic National Committee and evacuated it yesterday. If you are looking for the president's remarks on Twitter or Facebook, you will not find them. They have temporarily locked the president's account. Yes, the president of the United States of America, his social media has been turned off after he had issued statements that mixed praise for the rioters while telling them it was time to go home and said, "I love you and you are special people." Of course, there was the question about the police. They appeared unprepared for the onslaught. How did they get in? Trump loyalists had discussed openly on social media, Gab, Parler, other places. Malcolm, I know you're well aware of this, and we'll talk to you about that in a second. Trump initially rebuffed requests to send the National Guard to the Capitol. Who eventually approved the order? It was Mike Pence. Derek Evans, a newly elected Republican state lawmaker from West Virginia, was part of the crowd that rushed into the Capitol. So think about that. And after everything that happened, after all that happened yesterday, after the bloodshed, after the attack on the Capitol of the United States of America, still, with people like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell pleading with senators, Republican senators, to withdraw their objections in light of what had happened earlier in the day, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and others continued to say that the election was rigged. So with all of that and a lot to talk about this morning, Alan, we'll go to you and then we'll work our way around the room.
That's very nice of you, Joe. I appreciate it. But I'd like to pass to Malcolm. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Malcolm?
Malcolm, you're up.
Well, it's simple. Yesterday was a catastrophe, but it was a catastrophe that was organized, planned, and executed by Donald Trump. This is where this was always going. Many of us have been on this program for months predicting that something like this would happen, that Donald Trump would mobilize and kick off what I call an insurgency against the United States. So much so that I've written an entire book about it that's going to be announced today. So, and believe me, I never wanted to write another book about Donald Trump ever again. But now what we have is essentially a man who is deranged and believes that he is a president in exile who has had his presidency stolen from him, and he mobilized what was estimated to be 40 to 50,000 people on the Mall yesterday. And because I do monitor right-wing extremist communications in their chat rooms and Parler, I was watching live as some of the first extremists were live streaming from his speech. And as soon as he said, we're going to go up to the Capitol and we're going to show people what to do, that's when they started moving in mass towards the Capitol. My analysis yesterday from their own video feeds were there was an interesting mix, but the overall number of people that went there were below 40, which leads me to believe that there was a leading edge of Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, and other extremists in their not usual body armor, carrying, you know, without weapons, who were actually the militant edge of this attack. The problem is when they went to the west side of the Capitol, they were met with very severe force by the Capitol Hill police. It's when the protesters went around to the north side and came in through the east doorway that it appears that they may have had cooperation with people in Capitol Hill police. Joe Scarborough this morning put it right when he said, we need to investigate whether there was a fifth column of sympathizers within Capitol Hill police who treated them like a tour group, let them into the building, fell back, and let them do what they wanted to do. The shooting is regrettable. I'm not going to, judge the person, even though I've seen her videos. She was radical, but I'm just amazed there weren't more shootings. This has shown terrorist enemies you can get right into the Capitol with enough effort. What I didn't understand on the Capitol Hill police's tactics, and I went through SWAT officer school with Capitol Hill police, I didn't understand why they didn't assume that within that large crowd, there may have been a nucleus of real terrorists who may have designed to kidnap or barricade themselves or capture and execute lawmakers on the gibbet, the noose that they erected on Capitol Hill yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the photograph of it, but there was a real new setup outside the Capitol.
There was.
So it's an absolute disgrace, and it is a complete failure of national security. Everyone in Capitol Hill Police, from senior management to middle management, needs to be summarily fired, then investigated.
Bob, what do you think as far as certainly the security concerns?
I think Malcolm is spot on. Joe, you don't negotiate with cancer. You can't debate with cancer. You can't ignore cancer. This cancer must be identified and cleansed. I believe strongly that this was an inside job, that there was collusion at some degree with folks both inside the Capitol and outside the Capitol. This is a coup, okay? This is a coup. And Malcolm, I saw a picture that you had on your site with one of the insurrectionists carrying the twist ties that are used to incarcerate people. And what that tells me is that they were going in looking for hostages, that they expected to take hostages. This wasn't. Yep. This was an attempt to overthrow the United States government. Article 25 mm-hmm. should happen today. Trump should not have an opportunity to pardon himself, his criminal children, or anybody involved in this attempted coup. That a commission should be set up immediately with subpoena powers and ripped through everything that's involved in this situation, including following the money and the money that funded not only the coup attempt, but the senators and Congress people who also enabled this. So we should be looking at AT&T. We should be looking at Berkshire Hathaway. We should be looking at UPS. We should be looking at the money that went in to orchestrate this coup. It's a coup.
When it comes to actual, we just have less than a minute before we have to go over to a break. So I do want people to write in. We have many, many letters already saying that Malcolm and Alan are right. They've been warning us it could come to this. Now is the time for them to say, I told you so. We also have many letters about the Capitol Police saying that they need a thorough investigation. Sue says they are there to keep order, not take selfies with rioters destroying government property, which there were pictures of.
I would like to talk about that when we come back.
We will. Absolutely. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a tremendous group this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerby, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler, and Malcolm Nance. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. We already have been inundated with letters, which is great. Just keep them short and to the point. And make sure you pre-read them so we can get to as many as possible. And so it actually makes sense. We're getting a lot of like letters. So if we don't read yours, don't be mad at us. We're just trying to get the mood of the room. And we'll be back right after this short break. Corinne writes to us and says, I stood up to shout shame in the U.S. Senate gallery to protest passage of the 96 welfare reform bill, and Capitol Police dragged me by my hair over several auditorium seats and arrested me. There's no way anyone, let alone the police, was unprepared for what happened yesterday. So we talk about that this morning with our panel, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerby, Robert Griffin, Jim Hendler, Malcolm Nance, and of course, Alan Chartok helming the ship. Good morning, all. So let us go to Linda, because you were talking about, I think you wanted to comment about the officers and the selfies. Yeah, that was a disturbing picture.
Yeah, well, I don't want to generalize here, because I did see in video yesterday Capitol Police doing their jobs inside the Capitol and trying to stop things. By the way, I got up yesterday morning, and I had many things I was going to do, but I decided, no, I would have a day of democracy. I sat down in front of the television to watch all of the debate and the certification process. I simply decided to do something I don't ever do, which is sit in front of a TV all day. Well, I did, as a matter of fact. I sat down about 9:45. I got up at 11 last night. I wasn't quite expecting the day that I had. But I watched an awful lot of video. Yes, I saw the video of the selfie being taken. I only saw one video of that. I did. Yes, I did see a video in which you see the backs of Capitol Police.
and the rioters in front of them, and you see them just talking to them from the back. You see their backs. And then you see them stop, back up, let the crowd through, and the Capitol cops just walk away. They're not running. They're not under duress. It looks complicit. Not saying it is, but it looks complicit. I want to know why Stephen Sund has a job this morning. He is head of the Capitol Police. None of this could have been a surprise. I have to believe there was complicit.
And you felt...
This comes back... Yeah, it felt right. Look, it felt right. I confess, I don't have a lot of respect for the Capitol Police because I covered the Congress for several years, and they were not, at that time at least, real or good or even real policemen. Their major job is a doorman. They belong to the Congress. The Congress is in charge of them. They report to no one else but the Congress, unless I'm mistaken upon that. And all day yesterday on television, you saw both members of the House and Senate and reporters talking about our brave and wonderful Capitol Police, our wonderful people, the Capitol Police. And I had to wonder myself, how much is this you really thinking they're wonderful, and how much is this you knowing how much they can mess with your life while you're just trying to get around and do your job in that building,
right,
or any of those buildings on that hill?
Many media members.
Why does Stephen Sund have a job this morning? Why haven't I heard of his name?
It's a great question, and you know, besides all of this, and Rosemary, I want to get to your thoughts, but, you know, getting into the Capitol, okay, one thing, but how in the name of God did they get to within feet of the Vice President of the United States, not to mention to the floor of the House and to the floor of the Senate? Rosemary, go ahead.
Okay, so my thoughts are all over the place. I've been up all night watching TV. I'm just I'm consumed by this. I want to say about the police, I thought from the minute I saw that swarm get into one of the supposedly most secure buildings in the entire world with ease, that it had to be an inside job or that there was some major sympathy among the police in there, the law enforcement in there with the operators. And that is the hallmark of a coup in every other country that I've ever been in. So I worry about that. Linda, you're absolutely right. Heads need to roll. And I think that starts with the head of the police and goes right up to Trump. My abiding image of last night was when at 8 o'clock Congress finally reconvenes. It was so freaking normal. It was like they just went on with it. There was not a mention of Trump and what he did. We got some scattered reports that the cabinet was kind of thinking about the 25th Amendment. He needs to be, I hope his, I have no trust that they do, but what ought to be happening is that Republicans are going to him as they did to Nixon and say, sir, you need to resign right away. I think the 25th Amendment is going to be too hard to actually happen. I think also Congress needs to impeach, not because that does any good right now, but to keep him from ever running again. I think this was what we saw yesterday was appalling and cannot stand as it is. Here are my other thoughts. Bill Barr, why did he leave? Did he know something like this was coming? The Capitol, as you know, is not under the city of Washington's jurisdiction, but really under federal control.
Right.
And DOJ had a part to play. There is, Malcolm, you probably know more about this and can talk about it. I'd love to hear about it. Why the National Guard had to be called in by Pence, not Trump. Where is the acting, whatever he is, the Attorney General? I feel like we are a banana republic. I heard yesterday from people from friends in Africa and Eastern Europe who recognized this for what it was, a coup for which we were woefully unprepared and shockingly shocked by it. Alan and Malcolm have been talking about this for months, for weeks on the, almost to a distraction on our show. And yet national commentators yesterday were saying, oh my God, you could hear their shock and amazement when they were reporting what they were seeing. Why did they feel that way? Next, I want to know what our lovely new attorney general is thinking about prosecuting members of the mob and about Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump, who fomented this action yesterday. Inciting to riot is a crime. So why are there not charges? That's it to begin with.
All right. A lot there, and we'll certainly go through more of it as we go through the morning. I am particularly interested in what you were saying, Rosemary, just the fact of the normality that came following. All of a sudden, like Lindsey Graham's doing a lounge comedy act, and it just felt
weird. Oh, my God.
Weird.
Yes. And Ben Sasse, too.
Yeah.
Ben Sasse is talking about shoveling
his neighbor's show.
Yeah. Let's help the neighbors. And it was weird. And these people were, and certainly in both chambers, but in the House, they were under siege and they had gas masks on a couple hours before. And just to have it have that tone to it was very odd. Jim Hendler. To you, sir.
Yes, I'm going to take a slightly different view. I mean, I agree with pretty much everything people have said. I actually have some issue with whether we can call this a coup attempt or not, but let's go there another time. But I had I was very friendly when I lived down in D.C. with the CTO of one of the very large government agencies, and he taught me something about government that really changed my thinking about a lot of things. He said, never, never blame malevolence when you can blame incompetence in government, right? I think what we saw is, as well as the things we've been talking about, I think what we really saw as a major contributing factor to this was that Trump, by putting in his loyalists, by constantly moving people around in the agencies, by having, you know, senior officers instead of acting, so people had no authority in charge of major organizations like DHS, just made it so that all of the normal lines of communication, all of the normal ways the government were broken. So I think some of this may have been support and complicity and things like that, but I think a lot more of it was just dysfunction. I think this wouldn't have happened even under a man like Trump, given a working government, given, you know, the people Malcolm and I used to work with at DHS who aren't there anymore, right? Not because they were Democrats. Mm-hmm. Many of them were very strong Republicans. They were competent. So I think what we really saw was a perfect storm of malevolent Trump, crazy, you know, Trumpies, and incompetent government.
So go ahead, Malcolm. Alan?
Joe, I just wanted to check in and say I don't agree with you. I have great respect for you, but I don't agree with you. The answer is Trump organized this. Trump pushed them there. He told them where to go. They showed up with buses. They showed up with flags. They showed up with preparation. It wasn't just that this was
So all of that is true. Back in the 60s, when I went down there for the moratorium or for Earth Day, and we had way more people. I mean, what we didn't have is the violence, and what we had was a lot more preparation and cooperation. I mean, you know, remember me surrounding people up and throwing them into baseball stadiums. I mean, you know, we had craziness in the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I'm not saying that the things you guys are talking about aren't right, but I think what really made it much more doable was the simple fact that the normal functioning of government has been so broken, and that, you know, a major part of what has to happen in the next administration is just putting competent people in who can fix things.
Malcolm, I'm interested in your thoughts on that, where incompetence comes into this picture.
Well, if we're talking about the Capitol Hill police, that's one thing. If we're talking about the Trump administration, that's their hallmark.
Well, let's specifically talk about how people got into that building yesterday, because, I mean, I'm with Rosemary and Linda of just watching people walk up. There are officers there, and they're just walking in. I mean, why is nobody at least trying to keep somebody from going?
It depends on which side of the Capitol you were. I had four different teams monitoring the live streams from the actual protesters. And as I said, on the side where the inauguration is, the west side, straight off the mall, it was open combat there.
I'm sorry, you have teams? Capitol Hill Police. Is that what you said? You have teams of people working?
I have groups of people who will sit there and monitor this stuff. And we can literally go from one feed to another.
I want to be on Malcolm's team.
Of live streams.
Really? What is
going
it
on
say?
Out there?
Yeah, so we're all wondering what it takes to be a member of your team. But go ahead.
Eddie Yutt can be a member of my team. you need to be breathing and have a laptop. But
Malcolm,
as I was
what's
saying,
happening at Department of Justice?
Well, that's a very good question. I heard your question earlier. The initial response that we heard was that the Department of Justice refused an emergency call from Capitol Hill Police to mobilize the D.C. National Guard, about 200 of whom were just guarding the metros, and they were guarding the metros just in, you know, Operation, you know, Safe and Sound, like they have in New York City, where they just walk around in body armor with radios. They didn't have any weapons, no riot control gear. And the Justice Department turned it down outright. It was a second emergency call from the Secret Service, who are the real heroes yesterday. It was the Secret Service that secured the House chambers, those guys with their weapons drawn. The three security details that were there were Mike Pence's, Kamala Harris's, because she gets the exact same security as Mike Pence now, and Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Hill police personal security detail. They secured all the entryways from the intruders and managed to even secure away the Electoral College votes and got everybody to a safe pace. Capitol Hill Police has three separate strike teams that are like SWAT teams. They were extremely slow to mobilize. You know, it's 2,200 officers who guard nine buildings. You know, the simplest thing to do would have put a skeleton crew on each one of the buildings and then do a mass mobilization, full armor, full weapons, you know, as if ISIS was attacking. But right to the end, they viewed them as, well, it's a bunch of white guys who are expressing themselves. You know, they climbed up balustrades, they climbed into windows, they smashed windows, they penetrated in many points. But internally, and Chief Bratton of New York City Police was just excoriating them today. Internally, they had no operating resistance plan, which if it wasn't an actual gunman, they didn't know what to do. So the whole security of the building collapsed.
So again,
itself until DC's police arrived.
Is that incompetence, or is that, as Rosemary suggested, the hallmark of a coup?
I think no. This was incompetence with some conspiracy, and I hate to say it, but I saw that video. Those guys were like, "Yeah, right, whatever. Go on. You guys just go ahead. You're not going to do anything." In that one key place, and that was the access way to the East Wing doors. And if anybody's been there on the tour, you got to go into the underground, you know, shelter to get into that building. This led right up to the House and Senate chambers, Nancy Pelosi's door. I mean, it's a disaster. And they had one or two cops inside trying to stop hundreds of people who were using their mass bodies to push through. And they didn't have orders on what constituted a threat. Any military base, the White House, anywhere else, lethal force would have been employed. One small can of pepper spray. But their mobilization plan to come from the rear and wade through them and drive them off of the grounds, like we see in Korea and France, no, none of that was ready.
Malcolm. Malcolm, are you telling us that you don't think the president was behind sending those people up there and that this was a conspiracy? Because I damn well do.
Oh, no. I watched him say it. I had to watch that entire crazy speech of his. And then, as I said, we started monitoring the movements of their live streams, and they started making a trot towards the Capitol building. They went there with the intent to do this. The people that followed them on the march saw the lead edge of that action. And they went around the building and probed every side, climbed the scaffolding, got up the sides, went in, started smashing windows. It was all about Trump signs and taking over the country. My problem was, within that group, there could have been a murder team. And
absolutely.
Capitol Hill Police didn't seem to think that that was very important.
I mean, it was to the simplest level yesterday and watching the video. How were they, like, why is there not bulletproof glass? How were they able to break the glass and get in?
Well, it's supposed to be, Joe. It's supposed to be bomb-proof.
I have something
glass.
To say when there's a moment free.
Yeah, absolutely. We've taken the whole morning over, so we all have time to talk.
Well,
yeah.
No, we haven't, because let's do this. Let's do this. You keep talking about why was there this, why was there that. It wasn't necessary. I know that many of you are old enough to remember a film called A Gentleman's Agreement. And that's what I saw on television yesterday. It didn't have to be a plot. It was simply a bunch of white guys giving other white guys a pass. And we've gotten half hour into the show, and we have not mentioned the obvious racism that we saw yesterday and the hypocrisy of how the Black Lives Matter protests, which were peaceful, were handled. And how this was handled. My contention is that it was ineptitude, it was incompetence, it was not really probably an overall let's think this through plot, but it was a bunch of like-minded people giving a bunch of other like-minded people a go, sort of like a secret high sign, a gentleman's agreement.
We disagree.
White guy to white guy.
We disagree. We disagree.
Linda, and I said that this was the ultimate example of white privilege.
So why do you disagree, Alan?
I disagree because I think Trump sent him up there. We know Trump sent him up there.
Well, I don't think.
Wait.
Let me. Can I finish the sentence?
Hold on. Go ahead.
We know Trump sent him up there. He did. He spoke it. He sent them up there.
But that doesn't exclude what you're
saying. We're not talking about
white supremacists.
Excuse me, everybody. I'm just telling you what I think. I think Trump sent them up there. I think he's culpable. I think he knew what he was doing. And I think, in fact, he should be impeached immediately. He won't be, but he should be. And this business about, they just let the white guys through. Come on. You know, Malcolm
Alan, we're not disagreeing with you.
I think you were.
No, I believe he's culpable.
I'm talking purely about the behavior once they got there, the behavior of the cops.
Right.
I know Trump sent him up there. Like Malcolm, I watched him do it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Go ahead, Malcolm and then Rosemary. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I said about ultimate white privilege is I've been on Capitol Hill and I have seen them shuffle tour groups through. They treated this as a bunch tourists who have come off the mall, certainly on the east side of the building. And no matter what they were doing, climbing on rails, you know, they're more aggressive against high school groups than what I saw yesterday. And they allowed them to express themselves. If they had been, Joe Scarborough said it this morning, if they had been black, they would have been shot in the face. If they had been Muslim, they would have been shot a block away by snipers.
No question.
This was them allowing this to happen because they saw them as like themselves and pro-Trump.
Exactly.
Rosemary, go ahead. I got to take a break, though. Go.
Okay, I just want to say that State Street by the Capitol in Albany is blocked off right now, talking about preparation. This didn't just happen in Washington. Other state capitals saw some trouble yesterday. And what's happening today? Those protesters all came in. The woman who was killed was from San Diego. They came in from all over the country to Washington. They're still in the Capitol. What's going on now? And are we any better protected, both in Albany and in D.C., than we were yesterday?
Great questions. We're going to continue our conversation. We have a terrific panel this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerbe, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler, and Malcolm Nance. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. I am, I was just talking to Sarah LaDuke during our break, our wonderful producer, who said it's just impossible to keep up with the mail because we're getting a lot. And I'm just going to kind of get to a few of them as we go through while we continue with the conversation. Two threads of letters that permeate what we're talking about. And this will take care of a lot of them. One sentiment is, because we were talking about Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, and not mentioning Elise Stefanik, who her floor speech last night was very concerning and stunning. Again, not overly surprising, but still, given what had happened earlier in the day. Then the other question and other letter that we're getting from people is, Melanie says, as an average senior citizen living in Schenectady, what do you suggest I do to support efforts to remove Donald Trump from office? Alan?
Well, obviously, what we've been saying all along is you write to your congressman or you get on the phone with the congressional office. I'm sure many of them agree. You know, people are dropping out of the Trump administration as fast as their legs can carry them. We're seeing all kinds of reports of people quitting because this is just so abusive of the American experience. And what it should be. But the answer is, let them know that you think there should be an impeachment. Let them know that the 25th Amendment should be invoked. And, that's the best you can do. I don't see any more than that.
Anybody else on that?
You know, I
have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead, Linda.
I just wanted to ask that because what the listener asked is a very good question. Mine is to ask you all who know more. Okay, let's just pretend the 25th Amendment isn't going to work. I believe it's not, but let's pretend it's not. Let's pretend impeachment is not going to happen. We have 14 days left. How do we protect the country against him? If there is no impeachment and there is no 25th Amendment and he stays in office for the next two weeks, Malcolm, anybody, what can we do to protect, to keep safe for these next 2 weeks?
That's a great question. Bob, I know you wanted to jump.
I'll jump in initially on this.
Thank you.
There's nothing you can do because you still have all of the powers and privileges and rights of the presidency. So if you start to think about pardon power, if you start to think about, my concern about him forcing a foreign conflict, this is why I think Article 25, either through the cabinet or through Congress, is something that has to be looked at, because he still has 2 weeks to continue to work to undermine the democracy. And he's at the point now where he's got nothing else to lose, right? I mean, it's pretty clear that they misplayed and overplayed his hand, and this is a guy that constantly doubles and triples down on bad hands. But back to the letter, Joe. You know, one of the other things that at some point, I mean, I actually was thinking that January 6th from now on should be a day of repentance in this country, a day that we need to remind ourselves how fortunate we've been. And how much we take for granted that everyone else in the world would and have died for in the past, and we act like a bunch of spoiled children, expecting more and more and more, being entitled to it. Democracy isn't free, and we obviously and clearly have forgotten that, and we just let a very small minority almost overturn what the rest of us hold dear. So one of the comments I would make back to letter writer is there is a time when the rest of us need to actually go to the streets to show what real numbers look like. It took every bone in my body not to drive down to D.C. last night because this is the time for good people to stand up, because evil flourishes when good people do not do the right thing.
Malcolm?
You know, one thing that I would recommend
the right thing
that all of you...
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, one thing I can recommend that all of you can do is you have got to use the power of your own pens and your own Twitters and your own voices. You know, there are a lot of enablers to Donald Trump. Elise Stefanik, for example, up here. Maybe we need to be reconsidering how we treat these people. We cannot allow them to go ahead and support these actions. I would like, I mean, I'm going to be writing to my representative, my assemblywoman, and, my congressman who was trapped in the building yesterday. So we need to make sure that they know we have their backs.
And I think the other thing that,
let me just say that having covered the Congress for a long time, for a while, let me just say that you're right about the letter writing. That it's true that the congressman will not read all your letters. They won't, because possibly they can't all read, but they can sure all count, and they will count your letters.
Jim, yeah, real quick, and that, then we'll go to a break.
Well, you know, the Washington Post slogan since Trump was elected is democracy dies in darkness. I think what we all have to do is not just those kind of letters, but keep your eyes open, watch what's happening. You know, Rachel Maddow said in terms when we were back talking about DeVos trying to destroy the post office, that what caused that to largely fail was people complaining.
DeJoy.
So it's not DeJoy, sorry. Not DeVos did it to education.
Yes.
Confused about who destroyed what. But the key point being that our outrage to other agencies that, you know, it's not just to Congress. It's making everybody aware that we're watching, that we care, and that we're paying attention. I think that's absolutely crucial.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We're going till noon unless the governor interrupts. But we are expected to go to noon this morning. We have a wonderful panel: Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerbe, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler, and Malcolm Nance. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back. A special edition of the Roundtable panel this morning. We're going till noon unless we are preempted by the governor at 11:30. We're still waiting to hear if that will be happening. We have a terrific panel this morning: Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerbe, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler, and Malcolm Nance. We have a million letters, so I'm just going to go through a couple of the statements here first, and then we'll get to some of the questions, too. But John writes to us and says, I have family members say this was good. The Congress, Senate, deserve to be, quote-unquote, shaken up. I know we need to heal, but I cannot speak to these people anymore. This is like the Civil War again, families being torn apart. I don't know how to move forward from this and still speak to these people in my family. We go to Sally, who says, I pose this as a white woman with family and law enforcement. Please realize that the police flag, the blue line, was there as well as they stormed the Capitol. We should be in fear of the white supremacy in our police and federal forces. It's time to vet these individuals. Matt says, how can we hold these people responsible? Will all the photos and video footage be used to find these people and then arrest them, even if they are members of Congress? Aaron says the Capitol Police Department should be immediately disbanded. All members should be investigated. The security of the Capitol should be put in the hands of the Army or National Guard going forward. Sandra says, how were these people allowed to carry metal poles, powerful weapons, in and around the building? They were allowed to loiter long after the curfew. If it were brown-skinned humans, it would have been a different response. Malcolm, let me go to you on that and the racial component here and talk a little bit about that. There are many, many people who are showing the pictures, and I think it's wise to show the pictures of the stormtroopers on the Lincoln Memorial around the Black Lives Matter protest in fear of whatever was going to happen, and yet in contrast to what we saw yesterday.
Well, it's quite simple. During the Black Lives Matter protest, in the protest against President Trump at the White House, turning the White House into a veritable bunker, the Lafayette Square protest, those forceful law enforcement actions, the federalization of the Federal Protective Service, bringing out the strike teams and emergency response teams from federal prison service. That's what was in Washington, D.C., as well as the misuse of the National Guard and every other federal agency's law enforcement. That was directed by the president to the attorney general, and they mobilized those forces. What you had here was the president mobilize nothing and allow his insurgent force of 40,000 people to attack a federal building, knowing that the Capitol Hill police wouldn't be able to stop anything. He knew there was going to be an occupation of that building. He knew it. Their job was to stop the certification of the election for Joe Biden. in his misguided people power action. But there is a great disparity here, and that's what we were trying to clarify before. If it had been black people or brown people or Muslims or liberals, they would have used overwhelming and most likely lethal force. And I'm afraid to say that Capitol Hill Police Force needs maybe not being disbanded or reorganized. And perhaps when Washington, D.C. becomes a state, that force needs to become a component of the Metropolitan Police Force, or what would be the District of Columbia State Police.
Can I ask Malcolm one other question?
Sure.
It is this. How much of what happened yesterday came about because of fear that Trump would, in manipulating this, would declare martial law, would call in the military, and then could take over, you know, enormous outside extra constitutional powers? So the military, you know, they went through the whole thing. All the former secretaries of defense said no role for the military. We won't get involved. How much did that play into yesterday, that in a way they didn't want more of a force than the Capitol Police?
Well, I believe that the rioters knew that, or that, you know, that they knew nobody was coming out there. They saw no force around their protest. That was Metropolitan Police Department had very limited forces out there other than to guide people out. But they didn't see the arm, you know, the National Guard, which had to be mobilized. Again, the reason you saw the D.C. police mobilize all of its forces and the National Guard finally come out, by the way, not the D.C. National Guard, the Virginia
right.
National
right.
Guard
yeah.
and military
right. and Maryland, right.
or war another, because the Secret Service made an emergency call and Mike Pence authorized it, because the Vice President
right.
of the United States and the incoming Vice President of the United States were trapped in mob action. D.C. police got mobilized only after Justice Department allowed it later.
I do want to...
But Malcolm, remember, though, that the D.C. police didn't have jurisdiction here, okay?
Yep.
It was Park Police and Capitol Police. So before people get upset at the D.C. police, understand there are some jurisdictional issues here as well.
And part of the reason...
Capitol Hill Police is larger than the entire D.C. police force.
And Jim,
you know? Part of the reason why that coordination was so bad was...
Go ahead, Jim.
Part of the reason why that coordination was so bad was exactly what I've been talking about. There's been these hostilities building up for years. There's been these lack of communication. The craziness between the federal government and the D.C. government during BLM, and I blame the federal government on that. That's Trump again. But again, all of those things has built to a culture that's made it impossible for people to work together, things that used to be coordinated or discoordinated. You know, the FBI was called out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And you saw them marching. Where the hell were they, right? That's a federal group. You had an attack on a federal building and it took 2 hours, 3 hours to get them there. I mean, crazy stuff like that.
So,
and again, I think it wasn't that this was all coordinated and someone said, oh, we're going to keep the FBI out of it. I think it's that the normal lines of communication that would get the FBI in were broken because the Department of Justice has been so dysfunctional.
For Malcolm and
DHS,
yeah. For Malcolm and Bob, I just want to, because Rosemary touched on this earlier, and I think it's an important point, or it's a question. It's a question I have, and it was discussed a lot on the coverage, on the cable coverage yesterday. But why was it Mike Pence who gave the order regarding the National Guard? And what does that tell us?
I think that we're viewing that wrong. Like I said, I've spoken to people who are from D.C., guys who are on D.C. SWAT. What it was is there was an emergency response call by the Secret Service that the number two person, and the number three person in the United States were under threat. And that's why FBI Strike Team, which is a sub-branch of the Hostage Rescue Team, showed up immediately. But they went to the south side of the Capitol to conduct an evacuation of the top three people. Same thing with DEA and some other groups. But that's only because Mike Pence was at risk. And he didn't actually make the call. I think his teams put out the call, and their operations offices went down their checklist and brought out the agencies who could respond. But they were essentially disarmed by not having these resources in place in advance.
So how does let me just get clarification from Malcolm, and then I'll come to you. But how does that jive with the what we heard also, that there was hesitancy on the part of the president to call in the National Guard because he didn't want the protests to be diluted in any way?
Yeah, well, that's 100%. That guy's not going to do anything to these people. They said he was holed up in his office, not the Oval Office, and the residency, watching all of this on TV, pleasing himself. You know, I mean, he didn't want any response.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Language not lost on me.
It's just a visual that I cannot get out of my head. But thank you, Malcolm. You're right on the cover. What is that? And Joe, you know what I think happened? I think along the line, command, somebody jumps command and started to move resources before others realized what was going on, which was the right thing to do. I think this was purposely understaffed. I don't disagree with some of the comments about incompetence. I've always said that nothing looks like conspiracy like incompetence. In this situation, though, I think the incompetence was abetted by and took advantage of incompetence. We haven't talked about, you know, the trucks with the rifles. We haven't talked about the number of Molotov cocktails that had been found. We talked a little bit about the hostages. I think that there was a core group involved in this that was intending violence and a violent overthrow of the government. So I think there's a combination of both intent and incompetence that are playing here. But I think we're getting away from one of the most important parts, that an armed militia tried to overthrow the government yesterday.
That's right. And okay. I'm fascinated by what Rosemary said. Rosemary's question to Malcolm as to whether or not this was an invitation to martial law. Mm. And I don't think we should dismiss it all that quickly.
Rosemary?
Yeah, I think that was very much playing. And in fact, I felt myself like, okay, D.C. police and the National Guard got called out and Capitol Police, which, unlike Linda, I had only heard praise about them. I called them vaunted at one point. I thought they could handle this. I was shocked that group got into the Capitol so easily. I will never again look at some guard going through my pocketbook as a real protection anymore. Not that I ever did. So that's why I want to switch for a minute here, though, even though I brought this up and you want to talk about it more, let me divert. We have bashed rightfully Elise Stefanik. I also want to bash Lindsey Graham, who said, oh, yeah, we've had quite a ride, that Trump and I, but I'm done with him. Like, he was some sort of hero. And also Mitch McConnell, who gave actually a terrific speech before this all came down yesterday, saying, you know, our democracy will go down in a death spiral if you do this, stop these complaints. Lovely speech, 2 months late, at least, if not 4 years too late. So I hope that they're having some buyer's remorse for throwing in with this jerk. But they have served us poorly. And I want you to yell at them, too, not just Elise Stefanik.
But how does that because you're so right, Rosemary, of the people here. When you talk about Mitch McConnell's speech, because it was late, but the words were at least spoken. And then how in the hell does, and that was before the siege.
Just before everything happened.
Right before. Mm-hmm. And then it happens. And then in a show of unity, and I understand why they do it, and they say, okay, this is not going to interrupt the work of this body, and we're going to continue to do the job. And then And things seem to go along, and you're like, oh, okay, everything is, maybe this whole thing is going to be scuttled a little bit as far as the expansion and the protest to the vote. And then Josh Hawley gets up, Senator Hawley gets up. One of the searing images from yesterday is the one of him raising his fist in solidarity to those who are storming the Capitol. Stephen Colbert said last night, what you didn't see is when he opened up his fist, you could see the blood on his hands. How does that happen? I mean, how
we have terrible representatives. We have done a lousy job voting.
Go ahead.
So, you know, this gets me on a way I would fix things, right? I can't vote against people from other states. Right. I can only vote in the presidential to change things. I would love it if the one person, one vote process let me choose where I wanted to put my vote. So I only get one vote for Senate, but I could do it anywhere. Oh, man, would that change the behavior of these bozos?
But it's a great idea, but irrelevant. It's a great idea, but irrelevant right now.
But I mean, but that's really the problem. We have no, there's no accountability, you know, even more in the Congress than in the, you know, in the House than in the Senate.
I don't agree.
To non-local.
I don't agree. Take a look at Georgia, for God's sakes, you know.
I'm with Alan on this. It's not a problem. It is the beauty of it that we're not voting in other states. I'm sorry. I'm not a Republican, obviously, but I don't want to do away with that, and I don't want you voting in Pennsylvania, and I don't want me voting in Texas as much as I would like to go down and cast a vote for someone other than Ted Cruz. I don't. But I want to go back to a central thing here, if I can, for just a moment.
But so how do you make Ted Cruz accountable?
It was brought up that... the Congress, you know, these guys needed to do. And my friend Lucian Truscott IV, who, that's a long name, I know, but he came by it honestly, who writes, wrote yesterday that the country needed this, that we needed, many of this in this country needed to see this, just needed to see this. And for me, the other thing that was so overwhelming, I know that many people watching, because many people were texting and emailing me, and posting yesterday, so many of us felt that. Now, twice in my adult lifetime, all of ours, I have watched a terrorist attack on my country live on television. And now, one thing that has happened out of this that may actually be to some benefit, I am very sorry about what happened yesterday. You know what? But I hope that every member of the House and the Senate yesterday, while under their desk or being herded out, suddenly had an idea of what it's like to be a 9-year-old kid when they say there's a shooter loose in your school.
Yeah.
And the
good. Oh, wow.
They will consider that the next time that subject comes up.
Well, and it was, I'll tell you, from I didn't hear it as much from the congressional. There were many people on television and radio today who were staffers on Capitol staffers who said that they were waiting for the shots to be fired and waiting for the mass shooting to take place, because that is what it
now
felt
imagine
like.
Imagine you're not a paid staffer or an elected official. Imagine you're a child.
A child. Absolutely.
How did it feel for you grown-ups yesterday, you people in power?
So,
have any feelings about all those guns?
Let's go to. I would like to talk a little bit about the politics of this too. Where are we right now as far as the? I mean, buried in all of this, of course, is that the Democrats took control of the Senate yesterday. So if there was any good news to come out of yesterday for Democrats, it was that. The election was officiated and validated by the Congress. So, but here we are, and as I want to get to this point of the next 13 days of what will happen between now and the inauguration. Who know? Like, where is the president right now? Shouldn't we know that? And shouldn't we know what he's doing?
The one thing that he's demonstrated, and I'll get off real quickly, the one thing that he's demonstrated, as I've said again and again and again, is that he has absolutely no bottom. If he's got 15 days, he's seeing how he can use those 15 days, and he will do something equally despicable, no matter what anybody on this panel says, is what he did yesterday, because he did do that. And if he did that, he's going for broke. He's going for all of it. And God only knows what's coming next.
I agree. No, I mean, I don't.
Alan, nobody on this panel today has disagreed with you about it being Trump's fault. Let me make that clear. Not one of us today has disagreed with you on it being the blame laying squarely at Trump's feet.
Absolutely. So,
you know, Linda, I appreciate that very much. I know that Roselle's been shaking her finger at me on that issue also. However, I will say that there's been an awful lot of discussion about the complicity of the White Guards and the Capitol Police and all the rest of it. But in the end, what is terrible about what's happening here is that this president ordered those people to go to that Capitol, and the resources were found for them to do it. If we take our eye off that, we are really making a mistake.
But I agree with you entirely, but the idea of how they got in and how they got as far as they did, I mean, that's what any other protest, I mean, how many, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume most, if not everyone on this panel, has been to some sort of protest on the mall in Washington. You can't move. And so how was that allowed? How did that happen? And even if you march down Pennsylvania Avenue, how were they able to get to the Capitol
and the answer, Joe, is Donald Trump told them to get there. And somehow,
well, I agree, but there's still there's a dereliction of duty. There's a difference between Donald Trump saying, I want you to go there, and then being able to grapple off the side of the building. I mean, I don't know how that happens.
Well, you're right, but I'm keeping my eye on Donald Trump. Because all this other discussion, it's great, and I appreciate the fact that everybody's told me nobody disagrees with me about Trump. The eye has to be on Trump, because this is his making, and there will be more to come in the next 15 days.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. I do think we need to look
a
little deeper.
And then that's the end of the talk show, right? I mean, that's all we're going to talk about?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Is the discussion over today? We're just going to say it's Trump's fault?
But,
let's not discuss
anything? No. Let me take it a step further. I do think, until proven differently, I do believe that there was a planned conspiracy here. I do believe that there was enough intelligence from the folks that wanted to get into the Capitol. This was planned. Okay, this just wasn't spur of the moment. I don't disagree that Trump isn't responsible, but there are other groups that are responsible that have to be looked at. I mean, I actually think that we should be talking about setting up a special treason court just to review and deal with these cases.
Well, certainly a commission, right? Certainly,
we've had on 9/11 and all the rest of that stuff.
Yes,
I understand where Alan's coming from here, and one thing that needs to clearly be expressed today is that Donald Trump needs to be relieved of his command. We can't, we can't allow 14 more days to go by. We have no idea what he'll
do.
He could decide to nuke Pyongyang tomorrow, and it would be lawful. So I'm just saying he needs to be relieved of his command. And if that means the 25th Amendment, so be it. That means that they need to impeach him again, so be it. But something needs to happen dramatic and immediate.
But there's a long way from so be it to getting that done, especially when you see the cowardice that happened even after the attack on Washington by many in the administration and at least those who support this president.
Well, this is an opportunity for us to see how quick we can be.
Well, all right,
Malcolm has a point.
Well, perhaps this would work.
Well, hold on. I'm going to hold everybody there because we have to take a break.
Right.
And so we'll do a news break. We'll come back, and then we'll have another hour and a half. I promise. We have a special edition of the roundtable this morning. We do welcome your letters. We're trying to get to as many as possible. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our special edition going till noon today with our panel made up of Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Linda Ellerbe, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler and Malcolm Nance. We have a lot of letters, and I'm going to roll through as many as I can here real quickly. Panel, if you have anything to say and want to respond to them, please speak up and do so. Panel@WAMC.org if you would like to get in on the act. Again, going till noon this morning. Ruth says, for the love of God, don't let Lee Stefanik off the hook. She's complicit in yesterday's attempted coup by signing on to the Texas suit and then announcing that she would be voting against accepting the votes of several states that voted for Biden. She gave credence to the Trump lies about the election when she knew they were not true. Then we go to Erica. I wanted to hear your thoughts on how long it took police to get things under control and all the while not using tactics that we saw used on peaceful protesters all last year. Where was the tear gas? Where were the batons? Where was the army standoff? How about when Trump gassed a group to walk to a church for his photo op? Why was that group treated differently? Which I know we did touch on. Anthony said, I know it should go without saying, but it is the epitome of white privilege to see someone sit in the seat of the President of the United States without a single vote cast or fired. It does slightly pain me to admit, but Allen's was proven correct yesterday. Mike says, today is the day that a prominent Republican, preferably the VP, needs to stand up and rebuke President Trump and call him out for what he has incited and done. That has to be done, and to start us down a path to avoid becoming Germany in the 1930s and 40s, will they have the backbone, is the question that Mike asks. We go to Sue. The Capitol Police need a thorough investigation. They are to keep order, not to take selfies with rioters destroying the government property. They are enabling police, and they need to be arrested and prosecuted. Ricky says, I was watching Fox News last night to get their perspective, and their commentators were blaming the media and Black Lives Matter for yesterday's occurrence. My question is, aren't they the media as well? Don't they have some blame for stoking the fire for the past 4 years?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, what was interesting is I was watching a lot of Fox News yesterday because their reporters could get in among the crowd in ways other people couldn't. And, you know, in fact, when people started
harassing them, they were embedded, if you will. Yeah.
They turned around and said Fox, and people backed off. It was really interesting. But, you know, I think that whole byplay of what was going on and this whole crap that, oh, these were actually Intifada and BLM people. You know, and that was actually quoted by I forget which of the Congress people. I mean, you know, it's just insane that even after all this, they're still doing this crap.
Has anyone heard who the brave person who had the foresight to take the electoral votes to safety during the siege? This is someone who truly deserves the Medal of Honor. The actual votes were there, and was people are asking about motive. Do you think, Bob or Malcolm, that was the intent to get the ballots?
I think they were good and happy enough just to stop the vote. But it was a congressional staffer. There's a video of them grabbing the boxes and running out. But it turns out that there are, I think, three more sets of identical ballots that are kept at other parts of the government.
I think that the intent was to completely stop the vote. So not just, I don't think grabbing the ballots necessarily. I think that we're looking actually to grab members of the Senate and Congress that they disagreed with. I mean, I think that they were prepared to hold a kangaroo court.
Yeah,
I think the intent was to overthrow the election, period.
Which means overthrow the government.
The intent of all of these people is what Trump wants, is to overthrow the results of this election.
And to Alan's point, I mean,
they had a plan of here's where we get the ballots, or here's where we do this. They were there because they believed that the election was stolen because Trump told them, and they want to overthrow the government.
What do you think, as
Let's
Alan?
Let's not give them good motives.
Well, no, but
I'm with Alan on this. This has been coming, and I don't know why anybody was surprised.
The looking at what happened, Alan, yesterday, and the fact that so if you're Donald Trump and you got to wonder what the next step was. I mean, was that the
Absolutely.
End game to, you know, as to what happened? Was that the end game that he achieved? Did every check go off of his list of what he wanted to achieve, or were there things or were there steps further that he wanted to go?
It really is unclear. It's a great question, of course, Joe. We don't know, but maybe he thought that this would be the wildfire, the match that would light the Mount Wildfire, you know, that would make the difference. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was wrong, because the people who were in the institution got it. Mitch McConnell wasn't doing what he was doing because it was right or saying the right stuff. He was doing it because he knew and has already experienced it that Donald Trump would turn on him like a dime. And if the Congress were gone, he would have no power. And that's what happened with everybody else also. I have no doubt that this was a scandalous thing by the president, hoping that the wildfire would get lit, but it didn't. And I think the stock market went up today, at least the last time I looked.
It did yesterday, while Rome was burning. There it was going up.
Yes, and today it did again, I think. I'm not sure because I haven't seen it lately. But, in fact, I think that people in Americans are satisfied, including rich Americans, that the institutions of government would be preserved.
The Dow is up 320 as we speak. So, to your point.
Okay, that is nuts. That is totally nuts. Supposedly, the market likes stability. Supposedly, the market likes Republicans who give them deregulation and tax cuts. How the heck do you explain this? I never want to listen to, along with polls, explanations of why the stock market does what it does. We just don't know. They're nuts.
We only want to listen to
Aaron. We know what, that they're totally nuts?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Well, you know, it's hard to, it's
There's
hard
no
to figure
reason.
Yeah. There isn't. Well,
there is reason. There is reason. Of course, there's reason. It's stability.
What?
It's the fact that
the stability of yesterday. We're in the middle of a coup.
Yes, but
that's
it wasn't going. But I think people were smart enough to know it wasn't going where this president wanted it to go. And
so,
that was the reason the market.
I agree with you. I think what the markets were looking at is that actually the institutions of government performed the way they should, and that they did what they needed to do, and we're moving on to the 20th. I think that was the reaction that I was taking from the markets yesterday.
I want to believe
I
you.
I think you're reading your own views.
Yes, but I'm sorry. We had six senators and half the Republicans in the House last night after an attempted coup still vote to overturn the results of the election. That is despicable. It can't go unmarked, and it can't go unpunished.
Wait a second, Linda, hold on for a second.
I mean, we've got to say their names. It is time to kick butt and take names and put those names on your Facebook post every single day.
I don't think anybody in this panel has said anything, but it was a question about what could be possible reasons for the market to change. I don't think I did not for a second say that we shouldn't hold these people accountable. From Trump to the senators,
I'm just saying I don't care to talk about the market this morning. I would rather talk about the senators and the House.
Everyone has their own show this morning. Okay, so let's go.
I'm trying to behave.
It was a long day.
Linda, I'm surprised at how calm you are about all of this.
Honest to God, I probably should have taken a sedative, but I don't own it. I also sat around thinking about, what if we do have to take to the streets? What if we actually have to fight this violence with violence? Are you ready, Linda Jane? And I thought, sure I am. And I thought, well, what are your weapons? I have a baseball bat, I have a meat cleaver, and I have a cast iron skillet, and I'm best with the cast iron skillet.
Don't forget your dog.
Yeah, don't underestimate Luna.
Luna's a coward. She barks a lot and runs. Another like Miss Pity Pat. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Graham.
All right. Well, that was worth the price.
Can we just stop now,
Kelly? That's right.
We'll just name on the air.
All right. So, Judy writes, are you aware that eruptions of violence are occurring in other state capitals? We've been talking about that. But yes, I mean, what do we do about that? And that was one of the first things I thought about yesterday was, okay, so these people, if you have those supporters, in our town yesterday, in the town that I live in, there was a Trump friendly group who was, I would say maybe 15, 20 people that were in the parking lot, of a business. What's the plan now? What are they, and who are they getting the orders from, as it were, or is it on them? I don't know the answers to those questions. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I tweeted almost immediately yesterday to be prepared within the next 24 to 48 hours of attempted takeovers of other state capitals, particularly Democratic capitals like Michigan, Pennsylvania,
Albany.
The first one that broke out was in Washington State. They stormed the governor's mansion and occupied it. Same thing, tore down all the fences. In that state, there was a protest in Kansas, but that was actually in Utah. So, you know, these people, if they become emboldened, or if Trump does something other than what I see on the news he's going to do today, which is award the Medal of Freedom to three golfers, we could see more action.
So that's what, you know, I suspect. It's Devin Nunes.
Nobody's ever going to want that medal again.
No, this is the three golfers. These are three different people.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because that's what they do, because he's prepping for his retirement.
Oh, go ahead, Jim. What were you saying?
I just want to add Albany to the list. It was reported yesterday that there was a stabbing at a pro-Trump rally in Albany. So
I want to ask you guys a question. What if the Capitol Guards had done their job? What if people had been shot? What if the violence had ensued as a result of that? Would Trump have had his way as a result of that? In other words, we are all condemning what happened at the Capitol and the fact that white on white sort of helped each other. But the question is, was there a philosophy which was, if we let them do their stupid thing, which they're doing and their silly and dangerous thing, are we better off then? And I think that Rosemary raised this earlier, and I've been thinking about it ever since. Are we better? And I had actually before, but are we actually better off that there wasn't that kind of violence and it didn't give this president the opportunity to sort of step in militarily?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Alan, in a perverse way, what this done is it completely laid bare the rot that's in the system. And the fact that that these Trump supporters actually physically endangered senators and members of Congress, I think it drove home how off track the government has become. So in a perverse way, I do think that this showed an awful lot of people that he really is sick. And you know, we talked yesterday on the show about sort of the continued splintering of the GOP. And I think this is absolutely in complete keeping with what we were talking about yesterday, where Trump will have his small group, but I think he has lost the rest.
There was a really weird moment in both the House and the Senate yesterday as various senators and House members were getting up. I know the senators better than I know the House members, but the House members would get up, and I had to look and see whether they were Republican or Democrat. That splintering, there were a lot of people, a lot of Republicans that were making the same case and the right case yesterday, and it was It was odd to see that because we're not used to it.
because they were protecting their institution.
Right.
That's so important to remember.
Yep. Yeah.
They couldn't lose that. That's what they were worried about. So it stopped being R&D.
Yeah. I'm really interested in your point, though, Alan. I think it's a great one because, you know, what would have happened, and hindsight 2020, but if the Capitol Police were able to do their job yesterday and all of the systems were a go, in the sense that in a normal demonstration you wouldn't have been able to get anywhere near the place, then what would have happened? What would the narrative have been then?
I want to give Rosemary the credit. It wasn't Alan. It was Rosemary who raised it, and she was right.
Okay, well, you both had a brilliant point then.
Well, I was just copying.
But, you know, Joe, and Mel, I'd be interested in your perspective on this. I mean, basically what they were hoping for is martyrs. That they thought that they were doing, you know, they were convinced that, you know, that this was the right thing to do. And anybody who if they were met with violence, was going to be elevated to martyrdom and used as a shining example of why they need to rally more to the cause.
Yeah, but nobody told them.
It's exactly what you see with ISIS and other terrorist organizations.
Alan,
nobody told them.
Interestingly enough,
Yeah. Hold on. Please. Alan, go ahead. Yeah.
No, Malcolm. Always
okay.
Malcolm.
All right.
Interestingly enough, they've elevated this young woman who is an Air Force veteran and a mother to the status of martyrdom today on all of their pro-Trump forums.
The victim, the woman who was shot.
Yeah, also
when my Bosnian friends who have been through coups heard about her, they said, oh, great, now they have a martyr. The fact is, justify her death. She's a kook. She's a kook. And she and her husband have been chewing on.
Watch her videos. She's
Hold on.
Absolutely bad. She's guano crazy. On the other hand, they are starting to completely embrace the conspiracy theory that it was Antifa.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot more to talk about. We certainly will with our terrific group, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Wendell Erby, Bob Griffin, Jim Hendler, and Malcolm Nance. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, specialty sports eyewear, sunglasses, and eye exams since 1953. Wishing WAMC listeners a Happy New Year. SHEEHYOpticians.com.
So I was supposed to take a sleep study on Tuesday night, and I went to my doctor, and they gave me a bag, and I had to, you know, put the things all over your body and stuff. But I never went to sleep on Tuesday night because I was watching the Georgia race, and so I called the doctor, and I said, well, can I do it tomorrow night? And he said, yeah, that's fine. And then last night at like 3:45, I was like, well, I don't know. Do I want to, you know, wire myself up now for 2 hours of sleep? So at some point, they'll get the information they need, I guess. All right. Let's see. We have a lot of I don't know. There's a noise going on that sounds like we're moving things in our computer, but it's picking up on the air. So whoever's doing that, if you can stop, that would be great. Let's see. David writes to us and says, what can be done about keeping Inauguration Day safe? That is a great question.
Good question.
Bob, what would you do?
By Zoom.
Yeah, I think it's gonna.
Do it on Zoom. I don't want Joe and Kamala standing out there.
Yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, I agree. I think Linda's spot on that. You make it digital. There better be a heck of a lot more planning. There better be a much greater police presence, and I think that the police need to be preparing for civil unrest. But also, I think unrest between different groups. I don't think the Biden supporters are going to lay down and let this group of crazed hillbillies take over. So I think there's a potential for both security at the event itself, but also among the crowd. So more they could do virtually, I think the better off they're going to be.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty clear that they need to declare that this is what it is, a national security event. Park police needs to be directed to close the entire mall off and the parade route off. I tried to get tickets for this thing. There's only one per congressional person, which means there's going to be about 1,000 people will be within view of this event. And Joe Biden needs to swear in, jump in the car, drive nonstop down Pennsylvania Avenue, get into the White House, and start doing the people's business.
All right. So more letters. We go to Gavin. Let's be real and say that there were many in that mob with intentions of harming and possibly assassinating government representatives to get to their preferred outcome. Let's accept how dangerous this event actually was and how dark it could have been. They didn't travel from all over the country to just yell at Nancy Pelosi. Fran says, are we naive to believe there weren't foreign intelligence agents mixed in with the MAGA insurgents wandering around inside the Capitol building? Malcolm.
I'll take that. Yeah, absolutely there were. Okay, have any of you ever been to Wisconsin Avenue to where the Russian embassy is? That building, it's huge. It was built in the 80s. It's fantastically large. They have 1,000 employees in there. I would have quickly dispatched people to just get in the crowd, see how far into it you could go. You know, let's see the responses. There was classified information that was taken from there. Memos and letters were taken from Nancy Pelosi's desk. They were, guys were stealing the mail off of her desk. So, of course, foreign agencies did that. Would have gotten in there just to see the penetration capability. It would have been remiss of them not to do that. The Chinese wouldn't have done it. Chinese wouldn't have to do anything.
Why? I'm sorry?
Why would the Chinese not have to do anything?
The Chinese are the adults in the intelligence room here. They'll just let us, bid out contracts to them and their subcontractors, and they'll get all the information they want. Also, Chinese agents would have to have agents who are less noticeable in a sea of white people. But the Russians, easily. All sorts of people could have gotten in there. Lesser governments as well. But it was a situation where we compromised our own government. But then again, last year we had Republican congressmen walk into a SCIF, a sensitive compartmented information facility, sit down and eat pizza while they had to hide classified information. So that place is broken right there because the armed guards didn't even attempt to stop these two congressmen, and they had the authority.
Let's see.
Did anybody ever see the movie Olympus Has Fallen?
No.
It's like one of my favorite movies. There's all kinds of explosions, and it's agents who come in and just take out the entire Congress. And the White House and I feel like that's what we saw yesterday. They could have done it. No. They have enough information to go in and get everything.
Malcolm, are we still losing you at noon today, by the way? Or at 11? You have to go at 11.
Comment. Just imagine ISIS watching this yesterday and going, wait, what? It was that easy?
Yes.
You mean we could have slaughtered the entirety of the representative branch of government just by bringing in protesters? God, what an opportunity missed. Well, people are going to be thinking about this now.
Yes.
All right. So we have, we got about 3 minutes here before the top of the hour. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney is going to join us too. He was on the floor last night, and we would like to have him for a minute or two on this. So I'm just going to go through some letters, then we'll have a news break, and when we come back, we'll hear from the congressman, and we'll continue with our panel. So Duncan says that Trump's thugs effectively won yesterday, so what will they do next? That is the big question, and I agree, that is the big question. Helen asks another very big question. Hey, what's with the beards?
By the way, that's a great question about what's coming next.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, what about the beards?
A lot of people had beards.
Yeah, there were a lot of big beards. There were a lot of big beards.
It's called vet grow culture.
There are penises as well.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called
what, Malcolm?
There were a few women there, but this is mainly guys. This is a white guy. No, there were a lot of women, too. No, there were a lot of women, too.
There weren't a lot compared to the number of men.
In this Negro culture, they revere the special forces and their wearing of beards in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's like mimicking that. It's disgusting and silly.
Yeah, it was just disturbing. Okay, a couple more letters, and then we'll go to I have 45 seconds here. Denise says some believe that it was over for Trump when Biden was first declared to have won the election. It didn't work that way. Some thought it would be for Trump when it was believed that the votes were proven to have been correctly counted. It didn't work that way. What do you? Why do you talk about 15 days? What are the choices, chances that he will not be in the White House on January 21st? Invoke the 25th. Now is the time. We have to take a break. We will go and be back. Malcolm, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I know you have to leave,
Malcolm.
But thank you very much.
Thank you, Malcolm.
We appreciate it, and we'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Seamless Solar, serving the Hudson Valley region with service of existing solar systems, panel removal and reinstallation, critter and snow guard installation, estimates and information at seamless.solar. And from ServiceNet, providing mental health and human services, including transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, for treatment of depression. ServiceNet.org/TMS.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMCFM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMKHD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANCHD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQHD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZHD 90.1 WANR 88.5 Brewster, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Support comes from Seamless Solar, serving the Hudson Valley region with service of existing solar systems, panel removal and reinstallation, critter and snow guard installation, estimates and information at seamless.solar. And from ServiceNet, providing mental health and human services, including transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, for treatment of depression. ServiceNet.org/TMS.
Later on, Midday Magazine on WAMC, reaction to the chaos at the Capitol on Wednesday as President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College victory was certified. Saratoga Springs Mayor Meg Kelly explains her decision not to seek a third term, and we check in on the vaccine rollout in the North Country. Plus, the Midday Weather Summary, the latest from Wall Street, and a conversation with outgoing Colony Town Supervisor Paula Mahan. It's all on Midday Magazine on WAMC.
Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, has implored President Trump to condemn Wednesday's violence in Congress. Mr. Trump has not criticized those of his supporters who stormed Capitol Hill. Mr. Wolf called their actions tragic and sickening, comments echoed by many senators and congressmen. Mr. Trump has been roundly criticized for encouraging the violence. Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election, if not recognized by Mr. Trump, has now been certified by Congress, but Washington will remain under curfew until after the inauguration in 2 weeks' time. Naomi Iqbal reports.
The siege of the Capitol represents one of the gravest security lapses in recent U.S. history. President Trump has released a statement saying he would commit to an orderly transition of power, but said he did not accept that Mr. Biden won. Multiple social media platforms have blocked President Trump.
52 people charged in connection with the attack on Congress are expected to appear in a Washington court on Thursday. The scenes of violence at the Capitol building have provoked widespread condemnation from around the world, especially from America's rivals. Here's James Landale.
America's critics did not hold back. President Rouhani of Iran said the chaos in Washington showed how Western democracy was fragile and vulnerable. Konstantin Kosachyov, chairman of Russia's Foreign Affairs Committee, said it showed U.S. democracy was limping on both feet. China's foreign ministry spokeswoman compared the events to the storming of Hong Kong's parliament in 2019 when she noted dryly, "No one died." Among America's allies, there was shock. Chancellor Merkel of Germany said Mr. Trump's refusal to concede defeat had stoked the atmosphere that made last night possible.
The former British ambassador to the US, Sir Christopher Mayer, has laid the blame for last night's events squarely on President Trump.
I would say that it is the personality, the narcissism, the ambitions of President Trump's inability to accept defeat in any circumstances that has been the main and the root cause of everything we saw last night. All the disorder, all the refusal to accept the election, a lack of respect for capital and the institutions, the democratic institutions of the United States.
For the first time, South Africa has recorded more than 20,000 new cases of the coronavirus in a single day. It was also the worst day for deaths from the virus, with 840 fatalities. A new variant discovered last month is thought to be driving up the infection rate. The health ministry says it's due to receive 1 million vaccine doses from India this month and 500,000 in February. President Cyril Ramaphosa has met officials to discuss the possible introduction of even tougher lockdown measures. World news from the BBC.
Support comes from Gordon Fire Equipment, offering fire extinguisher service and inspections to businesses and organizations in the Hudson Valley. Family owned since 1956, GordonFire.com. And from Northshire Bookstore, independent and family owned, catering to all age groups both in-store and online. Northshire.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. iMediaConsult.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to a Roundtable panel special edition this morning as we go till noon today with our panel. Currently, we have WAMC's Alan Shartok, investigative journalist in UAlbany, adjunct professor Rosemary Armeo, Peabody Award and Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Ellerby, dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland and Cybersecurity at the University of Albany, Bob Griffin, and the Tetherless World professor of Computer, Web, and Cognitive Sciences at RPI and director of the RPI-IBM Artificial Intelligence Research Collaboration, Jim Henler. Also joining us, we welcome Sean Patrick Maloney to the program. The congressman is a Democrat from New York's 18th district, just named head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. He was on the floor yesterday. Congressman, good morning. Thank you very much. I know you were listening and phoned in, and we thank you very much for doing that. I know you're good morning. I know you're a very busy man, and we only have you for a second or two. So give us a sense of where you think the big question we've been talking about over the last 2 hours here is what happens now? What happens now over the next 13 days? What do we do? How do we keep you all in Washington safe and, quite frankly, people across this country safe in our capital cities?
Well, look, it starts with the president of the United States, behaving responsibly and putting an end to this pernicious lie that there was something wrong with the election. It was a free and fair election. He lost it fair and square. And we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. At about 4 o'clock this morning, we got done counting the Electoral College votes. It was the vice president on the dais after a very long day fulfilling our constitutional duties. That's the end of it. The president has 2 weeks left in office, and I think the best thing he could do is bring the temperature down and concede this constitutional process will remove him from office and try to salvage some dignity at the end of a divisive and destructive and dishonest term in office. And then more broadly, we need to have some tough questions asked about security at the Capitol. But we also need to have, millions of ordinary Americans, and particularly my friends on the red team, who are Republicans and conservatives and who are good, decent, honest, hardworking people. I know a lot of them. We need their voices in this conversation, too, saying that while we have disagreements, we are fellow countrymen. We all buy into the Constitution. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. But what we saw yesterday was unacceptable. It must never happen again. And it's not just an issue of the security at the Capitol and the conduct of a bunch of lawless rioters. It is a question of whether all of us as Americans can regain our senses long enough to behave like adults and to and be good stewards of this system that we all depend on for our
Sean.
Prosperity and our freedoms and so much more.
Sean, a couple of questions, Alan here. Number one, were you scared?
Alan, I don't think I don't remember being scared personally. I think I was concerned when they were breaking out the windows, you know, 20 feet behind me in the house floor,
yeah.
that the situation was, you know, becoming unglued. A number of my colleagues and staff members, of course, who were there are, you know, more elderly. Some are
yeah.
quite frail physically. You're talking about a situation where a lot of innocent people are being put in a dangerous situation. You know, it gets your attention when somebody tells you that tear gas has been deployed in the rotunda, and that's about 200 feet behind you down the hallway, and they
right.
tell you to put on a gas mask that's under your seat. So look, you all know what happened. It was a mess, but I don't remember being scared. What I remember thinking is that we are going to finish this job, you know, hell or high water.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, we intended to continue to do our work in the chamber, but it just became untenable. You know, the woman who was shot, that was about, you know, 50 feet away, just
wow.
in the speaker's lobby. So it was the situation clearly became unsafe and untenable, forcing the evacuation. I do give Capitol Police a lot of credit in that actual moment for being able to clear, I don't know, 150 people, staff and members off the floor through the only exit that was left. It was the chamber was surrounded on three sides, but there was one you know, point of egress, which they capitalized on, got us out of there and you know, did their work. But the, you know, I'll tell you, there was a lighthearted moment. It may seem hard to believe, but I was sitting next to Colin Allred, my colleague from Texas, who's a former NFL pro ball player. And I turned and looked at him. He was taking his jacket off. And I said, "Hey, Colin, you getting ready to go a few rounds with these MAGA guys?" And he said, "You better believe it." And I said, "All right, great. Let's do it. I'm going to stick close to you." So if you're going to be in that situation, it's good to be next to a guy who's, you know, a former pro ball player.
What was
Go
ahead, Alan.
So you've got this terrific new job and responsible one. The Democrats lost seats in the Congress. It's getting down to the nubs right now. Does this hurt you or help you in what you're trying to do to get Democrats elected?
Alan, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not thinking about politics this morning. I'm gonna take that question back. Yeah, really. I mean, honestly, I think you and I spent a lot of time on the phone together. I have enormous
yep.
respect for you, and you know I love kicking around politics with you. But I really want to tell you something. You know, there's too much damn politics right now in our country. And what we need is we need some principles, and we need some shared values. And so, one of the things that disgusted me throughout the day yesterday and late into the early hours of this morning, I mean, I got home about 4 a.m., was watching my colleagues use the floor of the House to engage in this sort of performance art of partisan nonsense, or to watch Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz, these Ivy League educated senators use the well of the House to try to position themselves politically. And I understand politics is always going to be with us, and that's fine. It's part of the system. But literally a few hours earlier, a woman had lost her life trying to break into the House floor. People had rampaged through the Capitol, you know, destroying spaces that are sacred to our democracy. And honestly, I think I would sure like
with
to
with
hope
all due, with
that,
all
that,
due
that there are a lot
respect,
of there are a lot of there are a lot of people out
hold on.
There.
Okay. Hold on.
I don't want to hold on. This is a lot of speechifying. Just
I don't
minute.
Either. I want to ask
and,
a question.
And you're politicking.
Yeah. I'm politicking.
Yeah, exactly. And the original question, sir, with all due respect, we all know what Trump should do. The original question was, how can we, the citizens of the country and the citizens of these states,
protect ourselves? And what can you do and what can we do to protect ourselves from the President of the United States for the next 13 days? Just that simple.
Ma'am, if I may, you know, Alan asked me a question about who benefited politically. So if you don't like my answer, I agree with everything you said,
but respectfully, ma'am, can you ask me the question that was
excuse
asked?
Excuse me. What I'm telling you is that I think we have too much politics right now in our country. We ought to take the temperature down. I don't need a reminder that the president's actions are putting people in danger. I think you know where I was yesterday.
That's not the question.
So let me just be clear. Good Lord. Is this how you treat all your guests on this show when they call in?
Well, no, they're guests, too.
That's the world-famous Linda Ellison.
They're all guests. They're all in with you. They're all working for free.
Linda is right. Linda is right. How come you're on the show and not in Washington pushing to impeach this guy?
I guess I made the mistake of thinking that Mike's the...
Go ahead, Congressman.
Maybe this was a mistake. Maybe we should just do this another time. Look, here's the deal. The president is a threat. No argument from me. We are removing him from office in 13 days, according to the Constitution. That's what we were doing yesterday. That is the ultimate accountability under our system, number one. But if you want to put a censure motion in front of me, you want to put an impeachment motion in front of me, you want to talk about the 25th Amendment, you know, have at it. But the bottom line and the most important thing is that we have a peaceful transition of power, that the will of the people expressed through the election and the Electoral College result in the inauguration of Joe Biden in 13 days. I'm confident that with what we did last night, that's proceeding. The rest is down the list.
All right. No more, hearing nothing more.
I've said all I need to say today, and I'm clearly overstepping my bounds. So I'm a bit I do to all you fine people.
No, don't. Don't do that, Linda. You're right.
Linda left.
We just got treated the way Donald Trump treats people who disagree with him. Excuse me. We're asking you a question. We think you're doing a lot of talking. It sounds all great. We do respect what you went through yesterday. But we're talking about now not waiting 13 days. We're talking about getting rid of a dangerous person who has the nuclear codes and is deranged. And what is happening with that?
Well, I'm sorry, who's speaking?
This is Rosemary Armeo, investigative reporter and UAlbany adjunct professor of journalism. Go ahead.
For a while.
All right, Rosemary. All right, Rosemary Armeo. Well, nice to meet you. Happy New Year. Look, if there is a procedure for removing the president in the next 13 days, let me know. You know, but what I'm telling you is that, what did I just tell you?
An impeachment.
What did I just tell you? I said if you want to put... Well, we don't have time for impeachment in the next 13 days and removal. So that's not going to happen. I mean, when's the trial going to happen, Rosemary?
I didn't talk about removal. I talked about impeachment, which would keep him from ever serving again.
I think you suggested that I wasn't doing enough, and I'm telling you what the options are. Option number one is to hold the line for 13 days and follow our Constitution and our laws. We were up most of the night doing that, and I feel pretty good about where that sits. I just told you, if you want to put an impeachment or a censure or a 25th Amendment vote in front of me, I'm all for it. I don't think any of those things are practical realities in the next 13 days.
I would love to put such a thing in front of you, but I'm a simple citizen. We have all kinds of people calling and saying, what can we do? Can we just put that on your desk? Would you then act on it? You're hearing frustration from people who do not like what they saw in Washington and don't want to hear today that, we did a great job. You did what you were supposed to, and it isn't enough.
I'm sorry you're disappointed, but what happened last night under extraordinary circumstances was the most important thing that happens in our system of government. And I can say it for a third time. If you want me to tell you that I would vote in favor of any other action that would hold this president accountable and restrict his ability to further incite the kind of violence we saw yesterday or otherwise harm our institutions in the small amount of time he has left, I would welcome and join in that. What I'm telling you is that where we need to keep our focus is on Plan A, which is the Constitution of the United States. And that is happening in 13 days. And last night was not just some nice thing. It was the critical last step that had to be conducted under the law. And we have accomplished that. So I'm not looking for you to carve me in marble or for some compliments this morning. I'm trying to tell you that that's the difference between a peaceful transfer of power and something very dark.
All right. Congressman,
can I
know
ask
you.
A question?
Well, I think the congressman has to go. We said only they gave us 10
Wait,
minutes.
We're having so much fun. Why stop now?
Another question, sir.
I'm starting to understand why I do the Shark Talk program. Keep going.
Sir, the question is more about steps moving forward. And I appreciate why you praised the Capitol Police, particularly the rank and file, but this is a major breach of security. And what steps are going to be taken to ensure that this doesn't happen again? And what are the thoughts about accountability?
And just so you know, this is Bob Griffin, who is Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. Go ahead.
Well, Dean, here's the deal. You know, obviously it was a major failure of the security around the Capitol yesterday, and I think the Capitol Police have really tough questions to answer this morning. Now, bear in mind that you're dealing with a legislative branch that has about 1,800 uniformed officers, guarding the complex. About 800 of those are inside, working magnetometers and doing the kinds of work that yesterday was actually very important. I mean, piling up furniture, barricading doors. But there were about 1,000 officers, as I understand it, on the perimeter of the Capitol. That's a lot on a normal day, but obviously it was very inadequate yesterday. You obviously had insufficient barricading, and all of this was foreseeable. So I'm pretty upset about the way it was done. I think a lot of my colleagues share that disappointment, and there should be accountability. I think we should get all the facts first before we start, drawing conclusions. But there's some tough questions to answer. I think Capitol Police needs to answer them. And I do think that we should remember that normally in a situation like this, you would have additional law enforcement and military assets that are controlled by the executive branch. So you would have the kinds of things you saw when the White House was under siege last summer. Those things aren't available to the Capitol unless they're provided by an executive branch entity. In other words, the rest of federal law enforcement, including the United States military, need to be better available in those situations to safeguard the Capitol.
All right. Congressman, I want to thank you very much for being with us and for taking the time out. We appreciate it. Sean Patrick Maloney, will hear regularly on this program on the Congressional Corner with Alan, and just the two of you then. But thank you very much for being with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I do hope at the risk of pulling another lecture from your guests that people will try to pray for our country today and find some common purpose. It's going to be especially important that we rise above some of this stuff, all of us, regardless of party, for the next 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you very much, Congressman. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So do we have the ability to take a break? Okay. We're going to take a break. A lot is happening here. We lost half our panel. A lot of people got upset with that. That didn't go how we wanted it to.
A lot of people got upset with what, Joe? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, I'll talk to you during the break. we'll be right back after this. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Shartok. I have to see who's left. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armijo, Bob Griffin, Jim Handler. Thank you very much for being here. And it's very nice to have you all here. I guess what just happened is it speaks to the problem, doesn't it?
What just happened?
What just happened? We just asked questions, and he acted like we were attacking him.
I know.
And he's possibly saying, let this come on my desk. That is what's exactly wrong. It's what we've been talking about for months on this program,
you know,
that our Congress is not protecting us.
You know, Lynn, Rosemary, I'm not saying it was our problem. I'm saying
– I'm back.
Oh.
As long as I'm not being asked to be on Meet the Press again, I covered too many congressmen who don't want to answer questions for too many years to put up with it on this show. What we do on this show.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I saw Linda bail, I was like, uh-oh. I'm worried now. Rosemary, when I was saying that it kind of put into perspective to me the difference of the conversations that we have, because we have a very open dialogue in this program. And obviously that is not a dialogue that the congressman was ready to have. And so how do we break that? How do we say to get the answers to these questions, which I think all of you, thank God, were asking, I believe respectfully, to ask, you know, okay, let's see how we get answers to this stuff.
Well, we don't get it by letting him get away with a remark saying that we lectured him. He's a congressman. He is a public servant. We have every right to question him and get answers, not nonsense and dances.
We do not elect people or should vote out people who passively sit back and say, if it appears on my desk, well, you know,
he can initiate it.
Yeah, that was odd too. Bob, I'm curious of your thoughts on it. You did get your question answered.
At least it appears that there is discussions that are going on, and recognizing that this is still very fresh, but this is the time when things need to move. A couple things, folks. Just remember, he's had no sleep. I'm not trying to defend it. Don't jump on me with both feet. But remember, he's just gone through a traumatic situation. So I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack, and actually really do hope that he comes back on Alan's show an opportunity.
I'm sure he will. He won't take it out on it. But we were through a lot yesterday too.
And I think this is what, I hope every member of Congress understands, is that the trauma they may be feeling, we're feeling as well. And this is the time when we need leadership.
And frustration.
We need somebody to step up and show that yeah, okay, the institutions are not only in place, but they're operating. And I didn't hear that. I mean, that's what bothers me. I didn't hear the type of leadership I was hoping. I was really thrilled that he was coming on the show right now to sort of get an inside perspective, and I don't feel like we got that. My other thought, Joe, is, as I was listening to it, is, I mean, we need recreational marijuana in New York, because we all need it. I mean, we would, if it was open right now, we would solve the
well, come on now. You can come right over the border. You can come right over the border.
It's very close.
Yeah, sure. Come right over the border in Massachusetts. We keep making money because of this.
Come on
okay.
over.
Let me
Alan, weigh in. Yeah, go ahead.
I've had a long program with Sean Patrick Maloney. I like him. All I asked him was, I was actually trying to help him a little bit, if you believe that. He just got this very prestigious new job as the head Democrat, trying to get money for congressional elections for the Democrats. And they just lost a whole bunch of seats. And so he's got this big new job. So I asked him about it. You would have thought I cursed them out or something.
Well, I know. And then to say today's not a day for politicking, and then going into, Rosemary, bless you for jumping in and calling him out on the fact that he was politicking. So, Linda, we're doing the backup there, too. I just go to the original question. The mail is kind of split, we've noticed. It's more a lot of people, many people supporting Rosemary and Linda for their thoughts and what they said this morning, and a couple of people saying we were disrespectful to the congressman. For that, I apologize. We don't want any disrespect. I do think that It was weird just in talking and hearing the conversation, because as I alluded to a moment ago, it just seems such a disparity between the conversations that we normally have and the conversation. Normally when we have our panel and then the panel ends and then you go right into Congressional Corner, and of course the way Alan does his interviews is very lively, and so, you know, I sort of anticipated that kind of interchange, and so when there was a some blocking to Alan's question, and then I thought the treatment of the questions that were asked by Linda and Rosemary, I guess I'm not trying to assign direct blame to the congressman. My question is, and was a moment ago, how we overcome that to get anything done now, because man, it doesn't seem like it's gonna.
Joe, if I may, a couple of things that are very important here. The congressman, we didn't call him. He called us. He said he'd like to be on the show.
Yes.
And we said, sure. And I was delighted. What'd you say? Well, because he wanted to have a say.
I'm serious. It's a political talk show.
Hey, lady. Give me a break, lady. Will you please?
It's not the Congressional Corner.
I know. Go ahead.
Where we talk about politics. Yeah. We don't get lectured, or as he said, we lectured him.
Linda, okay, I love you, but let me just say that he called. He was on the floor last night in a newsmaking event. It was terribly important. He was there, and it was nice that he was calling and saying, "I'll tell you what happened." I was a little disappointed.
He talked about there was just we had too much politics in the world, and it'd all be solved after inauguration.
All right. So here are a couple of the let's see. First of all, Aline writes, Brava, nasty women, a.k.a. Linda and Rosemary. The questions were valid.
Yeah, they were valid.
Hey, I just want to say about this respectful business. You earn respect. He did not earn my respect today. I'm sure he's
also,
a very
they
fine
congressman. Also, they worked for us, not the other way around.
Cindy says he answered the man's question but became defensive with assertive women. That is another
statement. Did you notice that?
I
did not notice it. He did not answer my question. In fact, he avoided my question.
That is true.
No, that is true. My question was...
I think they were talking Bob's question. Bob's question.
I see.
I think it was Bob's question. Yeah. Bob, you have to be nastier. Do you have to go, Bob?
I do, and you know,
Bob,
would be
come
on the button all day if I was nastier. So,
I
do need to run. I apologize. Thank you so much, and you know, I am going to pray for the country because I think the country needs the prayers and it needs our support. It needs leadership.
Yeah. Let me just say to Joe's very good question. Do you have to go, Bob?
The answer is
after 3 hours, we all have to go.
Yes, that's true. That is very true, Alan. Yes. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Bob. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Always a pleasure
Perfect.
To have you on
Thanks,
our
everybody.
Program.
Be well.
Be well.
It is.
Okay.
Bye, Bob.
Let's see.
Bye, Bob.
So we are left.
Maybe I can try to get a word in there.
Yeah, there you go. We have, I have a question for you, Jim Handler. And that is regarding, you know, both Facebook and Twitter banning the president. What should we make of that? And why did it take what happened yesterday to make that happen?
You know, I think it's a good question, Joe. And it's fun watching Zuckerberg get beat up by both sides, well deservedly. You know, they have a set of policies that are very vague and allow a lot of discretion. And, you know, it's sort of like you're speeding to a car wreck and they were sort of saying, maybe he'll stop. Okay. Once the car wreck happened, they said, okay, we got to do something. So they've actually completely banned Trump from Facebook until after the inauguration. And Twitter only did a short blocking. And now there's a lot of calls asking them to please block him, which would be a much more impactful thing on him. You know, it's sort of they're listening to the voices that are saying we're outraged and you're enabling this mania. And they've tried, you know, warnings and things like that. But now they're sort of saying, okay, we got to get serious. You know, there's a lot of work on, there's a lot of things going on in the Hill that threaten some of their independence and some of their ability to do this stuff. They're fighting that very hard. And it's an interesting time in terms of these social media. But, you know, they've been going where the money is. And now they're learning that that has implications and that they have to be careful. So they could, you know, it's sort of like they just got yelled at the way the congressman was, which is, you know, today you can't tell us it's business as usual the way you did yesterday.
I'd like to check in on that.
I think it's great that Facebook stepped up on it, and I wish that Twitter and some of the others would.
I'd like to check in on that, if I may, just for a minute. Look, this president is the worst miscreant who has ever held this office, period. And, you know, there are consequences for behaving in that way. He's in, you know, some of his top people, Mick Mulvaney and others, are resigning right now because of what this guy has done. No question. So there comes a point in which people have to do the right thing. And I think Facebook and the others are doing exactly the right thing. You know, if they knew that Hitler was coming, what would they do? You know, this is the right thing to do at this time. I have great respect for them for doing it.
I agree with that, although it would have been the right thing to do earlier, too.
True.
That's really where the issues came in.
The other issue, too, is the communication between members who are plotting the next move, right? I mean, what I heard yesterday several times was as the protesters were being moved back and back and back away from the Capitol, finally, into after the curfew yesterday, the question was that they were monitoring chatter on they were monitoring sites on Facebook and Twitter to learn of what was going on next. So I mean, how does that play into even what we know the full extent of what role it played yesterday in connection with the president's message?
Well, you know, we do. I mean, we know some of that because Malcolm was talking about what his teams of people monitoring
right.
social media were seeing and things like that. It's a communication platform. And, you know, you can be sitting there on your cell phone seeing what people are doing. You know, back when we used to have the show in the in the studio, you know, some of the panelists might be checking Twitter to see whether there's things they had to respond to or that were changing, you know, sort of using social media to see what's going on. But it's also a very effective way for someone like Trump to get his word out to millions of people very quickly. And, you know, they can't be, they're not blocked the way traditional media, they don't have some of the same laws applying to them. And there's a lot of discussion now at a legal level about whether some of that should be changed, because many people, and, you know, Al and I have had this conversation a year or two ago about, you know, whether, you know, how the free speech of the press versus the money making of the social media and their privacy issues, you know, impact each other. And, you know, I think we're seeing some of that now really coming to a head. And I expect in the new administration, we're going to see some real attention paid to this.
Alan, what do you make of the president's statement this morning? I mean, it seemed, you know, finally that he was committed to a peaceful transfer of power. You know, I mean, what is that? And continue to say that he won and, I don't know. The reason I'm asking the question is BBC led with it for the last 3 hours.
Right.
I'm struck by, you know, that you say that and it seems like he's finally ready. I mean, I don't think any of us believe that anything has fundamentally changed there, right?
Look, when Mick Mulvaney quits the president of the United States, it's dangerous and he knows it. When all of these other people are bailing out, and there are lots of them right now who are bailing out, when the people in the United States, the Republicans in the United States Senate and the Congress, and there are plenty of them, are speaking out in large numbers against him, you begin to say, uh-oh, maybe I've taken this thing too far. So he gets up and he says, you know, we'll have the peaceful transference of power. And he seems to acknowledge for the first time the election of Joe Biden. Right. So
although he still won't concede.
He won't concede, but he does seem to be doing that. I think he's scared to death right now because he knows that he has blown it. You know, he's in a lot of trouble. when he gets out of the presidency, there are going to be an awful lot of people who are looking at this. I'm sure there'll be commissions. I'm sure there'll be people who look at what happened in the Congress of the United States yesterday, and who will be very upset with it and with him. You know, he's been counting on a sort of a presidency in absentia. That is now getting ruined by some of the top people. The Trumpian, excuse me, the Bush people, the Bushians are all up in arms with him. There are lots of Republicans who are just furious with him. And I think he thinks he's gone too far. And that's what I make to your question, Joe, of his answer.
Yep.
You know, I have to say, you mentioned Mick Mulvaney. When I heard that news this morning, and I feel embarrassed to tell you this, I didn't know he was part of the administration
or still part of it?
Well, still part of it. He was a White House chief of staff. He was fired in April, and I guess I knew that he was an envoy to Northern Ireland. I didn't know that he was still doing that. So when he resigned, I thought, okay. But Rosemary, does that really mean anything at this late stage?
No, of course not. There's 2 weeks left. The guy has to leave anyway in a fortnight. But I totally agree with Alan. I do not think this is a sincere apology. It is no different than when he got on TV and read with grimaces and rolling eyes a statement about how sorry he was about his locker room talk after the Access Hollywood tape. He had went too far. He got caught and he had to say something. This is not a man who apologizes or who sincerely feels he's done anything wrong. That's what we're seeing.
Well, and
stops.
I'm sorry, Linda.
Or stops.
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped.
Or stopped.
I go back to the question the congressman wouldn't answer. What are we as a nation to do for the next 13 days?
Right.
And Trump's future after 13 days. What about our future between now and January 20th?
Jim?
And, you know, here's a good example of what's
no bottom. He will stop at nothing.
Okay, Jim.
You know, I agree completely. And, you know, we just heard like 2 minutes ago that Chad Wolf, who is the person nominated to be the Homeland Security Secretary, urged the president to denounce the violence from yesterday, and now the president has just withdrawn his nomination. So, you know, I mean, this is Trump has really learned his lesson, huh?
Yeah.
No way.
You know,
yes,
this is a country that has never thrown a war president out of office. He's still holding that card. He's got the codes. He's got 13 days left. And he will do anything possible to stay in office. He has already proved that.
You are so right. Mm. You are so right.
We are in very big danger right now. And what is the Congress going to do? What are we going to do? And I don't want to hear somebody say, oh, if somebody puts it on my desk, I guess I'll okay protecting the nation.
What do you think they can do, though? You know, I mean, I think other than condemning,
House,
which I'd like to see
they could pass, if they wanted to stay in session, they could have passed the articles of impeachment today, thrown it to the Senate and said, you vote on this, and we'll be looking at you vote on this. Mitch, you call this vote. You let it happen.
Wait. You know, that's a very interesting point when you think about it, because Chuck Schumer has already said, I'm the new majority leader right now. Now
it is vote. Make the Senate stand
that's right.
Up
so Chuck, so Chuck is in a position to call the vote. You're right.
Yep. And the House has the votes to pass the articles of impeachment. And don't tell me it can't be done fast. Yes, it can.
Yes, you're so right. Oh, my gosh.
But I mean,
I thought I could.
But the other issue is, right, so why does the House say we're adjourned through the inauguration?
Oh, because go home and run for office, of course. Now, that's what going home is all about. Yeah, look,
we were. Yeah, they're going to call up local radio stations
and say,
see what a big, brave man I am?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the
oh,
guy,
boy.
I mean, why was that congressman home in his district today? Why aren't they, every one of them, there today
in
trying
Washington
to figure out how to protect
well, he
the
is.
Right
that, he was there yesterday. That's why he called
no,
in.
No, today. Today.
Today.
Well, how do we
why
know where he is?
There today?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Hold on, my headphones are, there we go. Okay. Let's see. I want to go to letters. We have many of them. Did you want to say something, Alan? I'm sorry.
I always want to say something. We'll go to the letters.
Okay.
That's true of Alan and me.
Well, it's been a fun day, hasn't it? Let's see. Wow. We go to Hold on. There we go. No one has mentioned the Capitol cops are filled with patronage personnel. It is not a stretch that the loyalists set up their entrance as a demonstration of my constituents, quote unquote, and the cops allowed them in. The other question we got was from Don. Panel, can you please address the conspiracy theory that there were Black Lives Matter or Antifa protesters who were causing the violence at the Capitol? I've already heard this response to yesterday's violence in more than one avenue. Jim, you were talking about that earlier, correct?
So far the evidence that has been offered to that is one blurry snapshot of one person who had a tattoo on their hand that might or might not look like the Antifa tattoo. I've seen that all over right-wing social media. And then just the baseless claim. And there hasn't been any authority who's said it other than right-wing media. Parlor's full of it. Well, actually, that's a true statement.
Well,
whatever you're talking about, but they're full of this particular meme. I mean, but you know, we heard it on the House floor last night. We heard it. I wish I could remember who said it, but it was 2 a.m. I was pretty tired, not tracking very well. But one of the Congress people got up and said, you know, we're even hearing now that. Many of these people were instigators from Antifa and BLM. And, you know, I mean, it's that crazy conspiracy notion we've been hearing all over the place.
It's
just
the
latest. It is. Absolutely.
All I saw were a sea of red baseball caps.
Yep. Yes, there were 30,000 infiltrators, or arguably only a few hundred of them all had to get the mob going to go. I mean,
and
come on, that's
mob
crazy.
Is right. Mob is right. 68
yep.
people.
Mob is what it was.
68 people were arrested. One came from Washington, D.C. 68 people were arrested. Come on, they were pulling them in from all over the place.
And it's hard to believe
yeah,
it was only
and
68
I mean, if this
at the
had,
end of the...
You know,
go ahead.
And going back to what we've been saying again, you know, if this had been a Black group, a Muslim group, I think if it had been a pro-Biden group, you would have seen hundreds.
Even
of
a women's group. There were all
a
kinds of
group.
Security
yep.
during
yep.
the women's march
yep.
in 2017.
Absolutely.
And that
Absolutely.
Was also overwhelmingly white, but we were women.
Yep.
I'm going to take a break here, and then we'll finish up. We'll have about 10 more minutes left. We have a special panel going on with Alan Chartok, Jim Henler, Rosemary Romeo, and Linda Ellerbe. We will continue right after the short break. Good morning, last call for our special edition of the Roundtable panel this morning. My Apple Watch just vibrated on my arm and told me it was time to stand.
Mine too. Ours must be insane. Just this moment. My
yes,
God.
Just told me to stand. So
stand up and move a little for 1 minute, it says.
I have not.
I told it what it could do with that message.
Well, we're all surprised that you would get into an argument with your watch.
You need to respect that watch.
Right. I need. That watch was lecturing me.
We're not going to let this go, are we, Linda?
Probably a female watch.
All right.
Tried to lecture me.
All right. As we wind down here, I want to just get to a couple of points. Because there's a lot of stuff that we've been talking about this morning. Linda keeps on coming back to this point, and I think it's the right question. What do we do today? I know the mayor of Washington, D.C. is on right now, talking about that the federal response was a failure. But I'm questioning as to, and Alan, maybe you've been covering these things for a lot longer than I have, but it just seems to me that I would have expected a lot of press conferences this morning. I would have expected people to talk and to try to not resolve, but at least address what is going on. And we haven't seen that.
Well, we've been busy, Joe. That's the first problem. So we don't really know what happened. We do know that Richie Neal, for example, my congressman, who I love, was on with did a massive news conference with anybody who wanted to come.
Right.
So I'm sure that there has been some of that happening.
No, but I mean like Biden and anyone within the administration.
Well, Biden did come on yesterday in an unusual manner.
Yes.
He, you know, instead of saying he was going to talk about the environment or something, he came on and he just really, in a very dramatic but somber way, talked about how disgraceful what this president had done. Now, remember that Biden has assiduously stayed away from criticizing Trump. And he's been getting high marks for doing that. But this time he couldn't do that, because it was so clearly an affront to American democracy that he did it. He came on. He was somber, and I thought it very effective.
Yeah, very much so. Rosemary, who would you like to hear from this morning?
What do you mean? Who do I want a news conference from?
Yeah, or just, Bill, you know, Bill Barr.
Bill Barr, what? Number one. What did he know? When did he know it?
But he's old.
Is the guy Linda named, who's the head of the Capitol Police. Next, the department, whoever the guy is who's now running Bill Barr's job, to say who are you arresting and when. There have been under 60 arrests so far yesterday, and I know that there were tons of pictures because we've been looking at them for 2 days. So we have faces and people that can be identified and arrested. Why are they not being?
You know, I'm only looking at the scroll, Rosemary, on the TV, and it says that Barr has come down heavily against Trump in all of this. But I suppose what you're going to tell me is too late.
Yep. He enabled him. He made it happen. It's the same way I feel about McConnell. I thought McConnell gave a terrific speech yesterday. But as I said, it was 2 months late from the election, and it was after he had spent 4 years letting Trump know that anything he did would fly. So, no, I'm feeling this is a time when anger and frustration needs to find action. And I think that's what happened to our poor little congressman. He came in and got the full barrel of that. We are not listening to platitudes and, oh, let's just ride out the next 13 days. All will be well. This isn't us. This is America right now. We have to do something about it.
Tim writes in answer to Linda's question of what we do over the next 13 days, and he says, one, keep Trump's Twitter account closed. Two, hold a virtual inauguration behind closed doors. Three, pray for calm. I don't know.
Nah, come on. You know, we've got to do what's right. The American people have been affronted by this president. People have to stand up. They have to say they've been affronted by him. And there have to be investigations of how all of this happened. I don't think we want to go hide under a bed. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the letter, but that doesn't seem like the right kind of thing for us to be doing right now.
Well, if we don't want to go hide under a bed, why is the United States Congress not meeting today? Why is it not in session? You ask, who would we like to hear from today? I would like to hear from every representative and senator in the United States of why they are not in that building today doing the people's business.
You go, Linda.
Yeah, I mean, was that... Yep. Go ahead, Jim.
I just said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Simple but eloquent.
Huzzah.
All right.
Go back to work.
One last thing.
Yeah,
he wanted us to just say, oh, good job last night. Good job. How brave you were to go back and do this important job. No, that was the minimum they had to do. And I also don't think that if that vote had not been certified, Biden would still be president on January 20th. But anyway, we're hung up on these little procedural things. And there are huge, massive problems. And by the way, we haven't spoken in 2 days now about either COVID, which is killing millions of people around the world,
absolutely,
or
right,
the planet crisis, which could wipe us all out.
And talk about a super spreader event.
Another thing we haven't talked about, and I just want to get in one word quickly, you know, what a crazy country we live in where the Georgia election results, which give the Congress back to the Democrats, can't even make it to the front page because there's such craziness. But thank God for that.
Oh, you're so right.
But more importantly, that democracy worked there, that it looks like that election is going to be recognized and rationalized. And there's a lot to be said someday about all the data and why people got that one wrong. But I think it's great what happened to see real democracy play out, real empowerment of voters, and to see that really happen.
I do want to say one thing really quick.
I agree. My last comment of the day, Georgia on my mind and in my heart. Thank you, Georgia.
Yeah. Alan. I do want to say one thing real fast, and that is, we can dismiss the fact that the Congress and the Senate went back, the House of Representatives and the Senate went back and did this thing last night. They absolutely had to, because if they hadn't, then Trump would have won. So I'm, I got to give them a lot of Chuck Schumer and, Mitch McConnell and all the rest of them and Nancy Pelosi did the right thing. They went back. In the meantime, some of those guys in the Republican side in the House are sticking with Trump, McCarthy and the other guys. It's really awful. Awful.
We are out of time, but I want to thank everybody for being with us. We've had a large contingent this morning, so let me thank the whole group. Of course, Alan, thank you very much. I so appreciate you being here and being with me here. Thank you to Rosemary and Linda and Jim for doing the whole thing. I appreciate it. Thanks also to Bob and Malcolm. We will be back right after this.
Support comes from the Green Toad Bookstore, Oneonta's independent bookseller, bringing new fiction, nonfiction, and specialty books to the local and college community. Book signings, book clubs, personalized service, greentoadbookstore.com. And from Mother Earth's Storehouse, open 7 days, working to help keep our communities safe and supplied with EDC goods and services. Serving the Hudson Valley with organic and all-natural foods since 1978, MotherEarthStorehouse.com.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Our producer is Sarah LaDuke. Our engineer is Mike Bowen. I'm Joe Donahue. Stay safe. Stay tuned for Midday Magazine with Jim Lavoulis.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR.